Brent, from the games you watched this past Saturday, what was your takeaway? What stood out to you?
Yeah, Bill, good morning. A few things stood out. I mean, kind of bittersweet to have it back. It wasn't a full opening Saturday, but really enjoyed having some Power 5 football back, a lot of HTC action. You know, a couple games that stood out, Georgia Tech bouncing back after quite a transition year last year, going from the triple option to a more spread offense. I thought they looked very strong, especially defensively. I gave my coordinator of the week award to Andrew Thacker, Georgia Tech's defensive coordinator. After a couple early game adjustments, they pretty much shut out Florida State in the final three quarters. And then a couple quick things. You know, Clemson looked like Clemson. UNC looked as advertised, especially defensively, holding them holding Syracuse just 2.3 yards per play. Notre Dame a little rusty out of the gates. Ian Book, every time I look over at that screen, he was kind of scrambling out of the pocket. Looked kind of erratic in the first half, and got to credit Duke there. So a lot of takeaways there. I'm just excited now with some positive news Big Ten-wise and another full slate Saturday. And really 2 weeks to go till I'm really calling the opener that SEC weekend.
Couple things, and I know we're just 1 week into ACC play game-wise, but all the ratings preseason, Clemson 1, Notre Dame 2, I don't think right now, from what I saw Saturday now, based on one game, I don't think Notre Dame would beat North Carolina.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was not impressed with Notre Dame. And, you know, you always need a couple of games to really evaluate what that great defense by Duke, or was that, you know, slow offense for Notre Dame. But yeah, you're right. After one game reaction, it wasn't the Notre Dame I expected, because I thought that we had, you know, I thought Notre Dame had a huge power run game, you know, a big offensive line. I rated them top 10 offensive line in my book. I thought we'd be able to see Notre Dame, you know, power the ball down against Duke, who I had rated last in the Coastal Division. So weren't really able to do that. Now, I do like that freshman, that Kyren Williams. He really shined through. And that Gronk Jr., they're calling him, Michael Mayer, tight end. So a couple stars they found. But still, this was not the overpowering Notre Dame team that I had expected. I thought they would have covered that 21 points handily in the opener, and that wasn't true. So, and then meanwhile with UNC, I agree with you there too. You know, the score might be a bit deceiving. It took until the fourth quarter for them to really explode on the scoreboard, but statistically throughout the game, it was very dominant. I mentioned that 2.3 yards per play they allowed. That's the best in the country so far on defense. And the reason why I picked UNC so high, it wasn't even the defense per se, it was that offense. So imagine once this offense clicks to what I think it should be. Looks like a complete team down there.
By the way, that Duke and Notre Dame opener was the highest-rated opener, NBC now, in 14 years. Over 4 million people watching. By far the most-watched game, which obviously it's Notre Dame. They're on NBC. There's an advantage there. But that's a pretty big number considering where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think you know, with less competition on Saturdays now, because usually, and I found this on Saturday, usually I'm having to flip through 10 different games, you know, you gotta be active on the remote. But it was, in a way, I mean, it was more relaxing just having the two games on there, three games on there locked in. So I guess maybe that factors into TV ratings. On a sport-by-sport note, I saw that the NBA is really failing with their ratings. I saw the NFL actually was down for their opening weekend. So to see a sport go positive, I mean, that's a good thing for the sport of college football in comparison to the other two that came back.
Speaking of the Big 12 here, and we can bash on Kansas State and Kansas a little bit, but tell you what, Iowa State, I know they're catching a lot of heat here. They lost to a really good team. Louisiana is a very good team. I think that maybe too much is being made of bashing Iowa State and not enough credit to Billy Napier's team.
Yeah, for sure. This is with Louisiana Lafayette. This is a strong team and a strong program. It's right up there with App State from the Sun Belt. I know that App State has built up that national reputation, and honestly, Lafayette is a small notch below or even right there now, because when you look at Lafayette last year, 11 wins. You know, it's double-digit wins, and the only three losses, two were to App State and one was to an SEC team. So they're legit. You saw it shine through. Now, I think maybe part of the reason is that it was – a 17-point spread. This wasn't a fluky, you know, last-second field goal. The better team won Saturday. Every time we look over there, Brock Purdy wasn't the guy that we thought he'd be. He came out rusty. And when it came down to it, the defense couldn't get stopped. So, yeah, and to talk Big 12, really, a lot of people were saying how it's going to damage their playoff chances. I think that's kind of ridiculous. Now, were those bad optics losing the three Sun Belt teams? Absolutely. But unless you had Iowa State winning the league, I don't think it changes the fact that an undefeated Big 12 team or even a one-loss Big 12 champ very likely in the playoff, regardless of the situation, given that right now there's three conferences for four spots.
Oklahoma looked terrific, obviously. Spencer Rattler. Texas did. They were playing inferior opponents. Clemson at Wake Forest, no problem there. Clemson looked like a top-ranked team in that matchup. So really no surprises there.
Yeah, no surprises there. I wanted to see Spencer Rattler. I went back and watched that tape. Now, I know I didn't pay the $70 pay-per-view. It's like, it's pretty funny. It's like it's 2005 again, but no, I caught it last night on YouTube, a re-air. And, you know, Rattler, he kind of looks the part now. I know it was against Missouri State, a team that was FCS and a team that was even FCS 1-11 last year. But, no, still, he was elusive in the pocket. He extended plays. When it came down to it, he was making every throw. He was sharp with the passing. So I know it's a very easy opponent, but so far so good. He held true. Same with Sam Ehlinger. I mean, he, you know, nationally he gets the rep of being a kind of a Tim Tebow power running quarterback. And while he can do that, he's really a great passer too. Not enough credit for that. He kind of falls into that, you know, one of those national guys that ESPN just kind of throws a one liner on. But if he can get past that reputation, he's a pretty good passer and showed through on Saturday. And lastly, Clemson. Yeah, like I said, Clemson's Clemson. Nothing really, nothing notable there. Overpowering Wake. The three, you know, top 10, top 15 caliber teams, they all, you know, held true to form against some pretty weaker opponents.
Looking at this weekend's games, college games, I highlighted the Louisville-Miami game. To me, that's an interesting matchup. That might be the best matchup to date.
I think you're right on that because, you know, right now, as it stands, it's a ranked matchup. Our first one we'll have, ranked versus ranked.
Yeah.
What I really like about this game is that they're, you know, two strengths are going at each other. It's good on good when it's Louisville offense versus Miami's defense. You know, Miami's defense, if you watch that UAB game Thursday night, I know they gave up 17 or 14 points, but one of them was off a very short field off of a muff punt, like a 15-yard field. So, overall, it was a really strong defensive performance for Miami. Now you're starting to see the offense wake up. I know I had been high on them coming into the season, bringing in Derek King. He really, you know, he looked like his old Houston self, running around like crazy, highlight runs left and right. Now you'd want to see a little bit more consistency in the pass game. I don't know if they were maybe holding back a little vanilla there or just, you know, a little bit out of sync. So look for that to improve. But with Louisville, wow, I mean, this is the offense I hope they'd have. It was very explosive Saturday. I think it was four plays over 40 yards. I know a couple were 70-plus, a touchdown to Dawkins. So I like a very complete offense there. And, it's good on good. And the spotlight's on these two teams while the others, you know, the Big Ten, Big Ten, I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, they're discussing coming back. And the SEC is still 2 weeks away. So, yeah, it's all ACC time right now, and that's the best one we have.
Still about a week and a half on the SEC. I can't wait for that. To me, that means we're fully loaded up here. Waiting on the Big Ten, obviously, but once we get the SEC games, it's going to feel pretty typical. It's going to feel like previous years, I think.
Yeah, for sure. If I can do my Big Fox noon game, have either a Big 12 game going there, and then just knowing at 3:30 I can flip over and hear that SEC CBS intro music, I know everything will be right, Bill. So we'll get there. And the other thing, too, this isn't just your average SEC season. Normally it's 8 games and it's spread out, but this is 10 marquee games week in and week out, a 10-game slate like we've never seen before, and a bunch of ranked teams, even more now with the couple of leagues taken out of the poll. So it's going to be must-see TV, a lot of great teams I'm excited to watch and see back on the field. And some of the most passionate fan bases out there. So, yeah, I'm really pumped to see the SEC this year.
Brett Ciancia with us, pick six previews. What is your thinking on the latest Big Ten news? Tuesday was kind of a newsy day.
Yeah, it was. It was a week on the hot mic there from the Nebraska president. You know, I saw some funny tweets saying that the leak was planned. I don't know about that, but, you know, I don't know. It's just another day because it seems like the last week and a half we kept hearing, you know, wow, just wait till tomorrow morning. There's a vote coming and we're going to get this thing back. So, and, you know, then everyone logs on to Twitter and refreshes it and nothing ever comes of it. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I mean, it looks finally like, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. You think there's something coming down the road here, hopefully today, but I sound like a broken record because we said hopefully today about 10 straight days. So I'll believe it when I see it. It looks positive. So we'll see. Also, what I noticed too this time around, saw a lot of players tweeting out some cryptic things like good to be back on the field or see y'all soon, stuff like that. And even some of the football accounts too, the official accounts were playing around with it. So and then the last insider thing was we saw that Nebraska Stadium was all lit up last night, all overnight, that the red lights were all on. Wonder if that's kind of like flashing the white smoke. We'll see, but stay tuned. It's kind of an annoying drama going on. I kind of want to just make a decision and move on, but that's where we're at right now.
I didn't know a whole lot about the Nebraska president, Ted Carter, before all this, but he's making himself – not that this is his M.O., but he's turning into a hero for the reopen crowd right now. Regardless of the hot mic incident that had everybody excited, this guy has been standing up for the reopen group the whole time.
Oh, for sure. I think it's been Nebraska leading the charge.
Yeah.
Nebraska – really was the first ones publicly with Scott Frost to come out, and it was the first unified front where you had players, head coach, AD, chancellor, president, and even state senator getting involved, all on the same page, all aligned. Remember, the next one up was Ohio State, and Ryan Day started to voice his opinions too. The president, I don't really know all the details, but really it's been Nebraska and Ohio State leading the charge. Iowa's been very vocal as well. They had some parent groups. And then you see mixed opinions and mixed movements from the Michigan teams. Penn State hopped on later. Crickets from Minnesota. I don't know what their decision is up there. You're right. It's been Nebraska and Ohio State and Iowa really leading this charge. And it's a shame seeing a lot of national media really take it out on them. I think they ought to be applauded for just showing some leadership, stepping up. Stepping up for what they believed in. If they thought it was safe, they wanted to follow their players' wishes. I credit them all for it. So we'll see if that ends up being the deciding factor. But they put the pressure on that the USC's and the Oregon's didn't do out west. So we'll see if that ends up with games.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's Pick Six Previews on Twitter, and then picksixpreviews.com. On there, I have a couple sample team pages for my 2020 preview book. I know we have the ACC games are starting up now more and more. You still have a couple weeks for the SEC. And then hopefully we get 14 more Power 5 teams coming back with the Big Ten. So, pick6previews.com and at pick6previews on Twitter.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bill. I'll see you.